That just proves that a mother's powers are stronger than superpowers. That's good. So I am looking forward to reading Psalm 148 with you this morning, and just listening to some of what Psalm 148 has to offer. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters, you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His saints, of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. Psalm 148. So, friends, some months ago now, I was visiting a church in Ontario, and it was a Monday night, and I walked into this church to visit with council. And as soon as I walked into the church building, I heard the sound of singing. And I right away thought they must have a choir practice tonight. So I followed the sound of the singing, and I imagined I would find a choir. But what I discovered, that it wasn't officially a choir at all. It was just a group of people from that church who get together every single Monday night. They do it all year long, and they just get together to sing. They don't ever perform. They don't have a director. They just love singing. And as far as they're concerned, it's great fun. They're together, and it praises God. So what's not to like? It's nice. So this morning, we read Psalm 148. And you know what it describes? I imagine that it describes, and I hope you will imagine with me, that it describes a choir. A choir that has sopranos and altos and tenors and basses. And what this choir is doing is singing a hallelujah chorus. You know that hallelujah just plain means praise the Lord, praise Yahweh. So Psalm 148 gives us a picture of a choir, and there are different ways to think about the sections of this choir. The first way is this. Half of the choir is singing its hallelujahs from way up there in heaven. The high parts, the sopranos, the tenors, join together. And half of the choir is singing the low parts, and they're singing from the earth, the altos and the basses joined together. So that's one way to think about the choir. You've got the high parts and the low parts, heaven and earth. The second way to think about the sections of this choir are that some of the choir is invisible. Angels, heavenly hosts, right? And then later on it talks about sea creatures who live way in the depths of the oceans. Nobody sees them, right? And stormy winds, can you actually see the wind? You can feel it. You can see what it's doing. You can see its power, but you can't actually see the wind. It is invisible. That's one half of the choir. Another half of the choir is visible. Sun and moon and shining stars and mountains and hills and fruit trees and cedars and wild animals and cattle and small creatures and birds and people. All of these, right, we can see. So you have heaven and earth. You have things visible and things invisible. And then there's a third way to think about sections of the choir. And that's to think about the fact that some of the choir praises God consciously. That is, some of the choir knows what they're doing, knows that they're praising God. People, theoretically, and angels, all kinds of people, right? Young men and maidens, the psalm says, old men and children. But interesting thing is that most of the choir has no idea. At least, we don't think so. I mean, mountains and hills and fruit trees and cedars, do they have brains? Do they have spirits, minds? What about the lightning and the hail and the snow and the clouds and the stormy winds? What about all of those natural things and the sun and the moon and the stars? Do they know what they are doing? Could the sun, moon, stars, animals, trees, mountains, hills, could they do it differently if they wanted to do it differently? Or are they just doing it because that's all they can do? It's where God placed them. It's how He made them. When a lion roars, is he just making a lot of noise, or is he actually engaged in prayer, asking God for food? When a raven squawks, is that raven just making a lot of noise, or is that raven praying to God for food? You can find places in Scripture that suggest it's prayer. What's so amazing about this psalm is that it calls every corner of the creation to praise God. Whether it's visible or invisible, whether it's heavenly high or earthly low, whether it's conscious, as far as we humans know, or utterly unconscious. So, when I read Psalm 148, I try to imagine the psalm writer, anybody, the psalm writer standing outside on a beautiful day like today and pretending to be the grandest choir director in the whole wide world. And he points up there and he says, praise the Lord from the heavens. He calls them in to start singing. Angels and sun and moon and stars. And then he points down low and says, okay, now earth, plants, animals, everybody out there in the wild. And then he singles out people and he says, all of you, whether you're boys or girls or men or women or old or young or rich or poor, he calls them all to join in. Everybody has a place in the choir. Who's in this choir? Who's called to be in this choir? The whole of creation, every corner, everybody can sing, and everything can sing. And what shall everybody sing? Well, simply the praise of the Lord God, because, and this is the why, because everything in the whole creation owes its life, its being, its existence to the God who created. Now, where does this impulse, this instinctive desire to praise the Creator, where does this impulse to express thankfulness or even dependence or even smallness, humility before one so much greater, where does that impulse come from? What is that? It's a stirring of the Holy Spirit. Whether it's recognized that way or not, whether people know it or creation knows it or not, the Spirit is trying to get us to see something, to see someone, The Spirit's trying to get us to know something, to know someone. Why this call to praise? Because the Creator is the creator of all things, not only you and me included. He's in a league of His own, no comparables, right? Nobody deserves to be here. I don't, you don't, nothing. But we are here by the grace and by the power of God. So praise Him. But you see, the psalm says a little bit more. God didn't just do the creation thing, bring it all into being, way back whenever that was, wind it up like a clock and then let it go and said, well, we'll see what happens. God is the God who creates, but He's also the God who sustains. He holds it together. He doesn't just have this great idea and then give it a kickstart, but God's concerned about sustainability. And we get a hint of that right near the end of the psalm, because the director, right, the choir director, he calls the whole creation to praise the Creator because His name alone is exalted, right? And then he says, and He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His saints of Israel, the people close to His heart. He has raised up a horn. And you wonder, did God just find a trumpet player for His choir? Well, actually, of course, when a psalm writer, when Scripture says that a horn was raised up, it's a figure of speech, kind of like when you say about a person, that person is my rock. Right? That kind of figure of speech. And so horn is a reference to somebody strong, a king, a deliverer, somebody who can rescue, somebody who can provide refuge, somebody who's a lifesaver, somebody like King David was in the Old Testament, the king after God's own heart, the king who actually pointed the people to the real king, the Lord in heaven. And we, of course, reading the psalm with New Testament eyes, we're nudged a little bit to think ahead about Jesus, the king, the horn, someone to hold on to for refuge, for mercy, for life. God has raised up a horn for His people. They need help, and God provides for His people, the ones who are near to His heart. So the Creator's relationship to this world is not just arm's length. There's a lot of love and emotion in that relationship. Psalm 148. Creation owes its life, born by the grace and power of God, and creation owes the miracle of new life, of resurrection and deliverance and things made new, born again by the power and grace of God. So the whole creation is filled with singers. It's just that all by itself is an amazing picture, an amazing concept. So the song that arises from the squirrels that chatter around your yard, the howling of the wind, a mosquito swarm that has that, it has that sound, doesn't it? You know it. The whimper of a dog, the cooing of a pigeon, the way the rain has a rhythm, or the way a fire can crackle, the way a pencil can scratch on a piece of paper. You know that sound? The hum of a well-tuned engine, or the steady beat of a living heart, the jackhammer sound of a woodpecker. All nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. If you've ever slept outdoors, most of us have been camping at some point in our lives. If you've ever slept outdoors, you know the sounds of the night, right? The insects, the birds, the way the leaves rustle. Sounds we don't hear in the day, sounds we don't hear inside. But God hears those sounds always. They're part of the chorus that rises to His throne from the world day and night. God hears sounds that you and I actually only discover through really hard work and through some fancy science. There's apparently a real rhythmic beat that goes on when a termite is at work in your walls. The whales apparently talk. And somehow creation, right? The whole creation is part of that, and our worship here this morning is part of that too. Our praise to the life-giving and life-sustaining God. Our praises that we've been singing this morning, they are surrounded by sound, by the orchestration of the whole universe. Can you hear in your mind the sound of water dripping inside of a cave? Do you know what it sounds like when on a wonderful winter night it's been snowing and it's late and you get out there and shovel your walk and take a break and just listen? It has a quiet sound all of its own. One thing for sure, to hear the sounds of creation all around us, we are going to need to get out of the fast lane. And we're going to have to put the cell phone down sometimes to park it. We need to pull off to the side and roll down the windows of our lives. And we need to open our pores. I mean, the ones in our skin, but the ones in our eyes and in our ears, the pores in our mind and in our soul, so that what is there can find its way into here. And so that He who is there, the invisible God, will be made known. The hills really are alive with the sound of music. And to be alive is to be in attendance at a choir concert. And then the discovery is this, that it's not just a concert you listen to. It's actually a concert in which you discover you got to participate. It's a sing-along. And if Psalm 148 means anything, it means that God is a music lover. And so to be alert to all the music out there, the singing and praise of the creation, to hear it for what it is, to be part of that hallelujah chorus, for God's listening pleasure, our worship today finds its place within that grand concert. That for one thing. What we know of God the Creator, what we know of God, the one who gave us Jesus, the horn of strength and refuge and deliverance, the way God provides for people. Well, here's what the Spirit stirring within you and me says. Like a really great choir director. The Spirit says, you know what, you people in church here, you people who know the God of salvation, the God of creation, you are my strong singers among all the people in this world. And I'm going to spread you out like a good director does in a choir so that the strong voices can help the weaker voices. And the Spirit says, I want to spread out my strong singers, place them here and there strategically so that your voices can help lead other voices in praise. Not just here in church, but wherever it is you work and play and buy and sell. Where you study, wherever you happen to be. This privileged thing is that we get to join in this grand hallelujah chorus and sing out what we know to be true. So a question for us this morning, are you aware? Are you really aware of the concert going on in life? Listen for it. Discover the surprise of it, the wonder of it, the mystery of it. It's kind of mind-boggling to think about this. And then the bigger question is, how are you, how am I joining in? And how might your life, How might my life, how might our lives join in the song of all creation and give praise to the one and only? How might we do that more strongly and more resonantly than we've been doing it? If I could, I'd sing it for you, but I won't and can't. But I was reminded that just this morning of that great song. I was listening, so I put it on YouTube and heard it. All God's creatures got a place in the choir. You know what? All right, some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing loud on the telephone wire and they clap their hands and paws or anything they got now. And that really is the sermon this morning. And that's who we are. And that's what we're called to be awake to. That's what we're called to wonder at. And that's what we're called to live into. So choir, get out there and sing. Amen.